Romans chapter 1. Sermons by Paul C. Jong. Sermon 4. A debtor to the gospel lives by preaching the righteousness of God. Romans chapter 1, verses 8 through 17. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if, by some means, now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, "The just shall live by faith." The apostle became one who gives thanks to God first of all. After giving greetings to the Roman church, what does the apostle Paul do first? He gives thanks to God. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Romans chapter 1, verse 8. Paul did not praise the wealth, learning, or the size of the church that the Roman saints had. He gave thanks to God for that one thing only, that their faith was known to the world. Here we clearly see what the Apostle Paul considered most precious. It was neither human fame nor the size of the church. The faith that accepted the gospel of the water and the Spirit and was delivered from one's own sins. That very faith was the Apostle's joy and boast. Let us look back at ourselves once. What do we see and rejoice in? We do not rejoice by looking at people's outward appearance. What became a joy to the Apostle Paul was that one person believed the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit and became a righteous person. Following this, Paul reveals how he is serving God. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my Spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Romans chapter 1, verse 9. The serving that Paul speaks of was not a serving offered by force as a heavy duty of the law. It was a living worship offered by faith, welling up from deep within the heart of a person liberated from sin. A person who has not received the removal of sins ends up finding that service a heavy burden, no matter how diligently they serve. However, for a person who has received the blotting out of sins through the gospel of the water and the Spirit, that serving becomes joy and thanksgiving. The reason Paul prayed without ceasing for the Roman saints was also because he earnestly wanted to go there and become one who serves the gospel together. He wanted to comfort each other and be established together. The reason Paul wanted to go to Rome was not just a visit to drop by once. He says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established." Romans chapter 1, verse 11. But Paul immediately adds a very precious word. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Romans chapter 1, verse 12. Look carefully here. What is the reason a great servant like the Apostle Paul wants to go to the Roman saints? It was not a place where he unilaterally teaches and they only learn. He said, "That I may be encouraged together." That is, it was to comfort each other and be established together. When brothers who have the same gospel of the water and the Spirit meet each other, it is not a position where one side is high and the other side is low. It is the work of encouraging each other and building each other up within the exact same gospel. This is the purpose that the gathering of saints who have received the gospel of the water and the Spirit has. Should we not also have this kind of heart when we meet brothers and sisters in this gospel? Before the mind of wanting to teach someone, it is the mind that I too will receive comfort from a brother who believes the same gospel, and I will impart comfort to him as well. If even the Apostle Paul harbored this kind of heart, how much more should we do so? The heart of a debtor follows the person who has received the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Paul then confesses his mission in the language of debt. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. Romans chapter 1, verse 14. To whom would Paul have borrowed what money? It is not such a debt. The Bible said to owe no one anything except the debt of love. That Paul called himself a debtor here meant that he had an obligation to preach the gospel to all these people. Greeks and barbarians, the wise and the unwise. What does this contrast mean? It encompasses all categories of people in the world. The gospel of the water and the Spirit is not given only to any one nation or one class. It is God's one and only way of salvation toward all humanity who became sinners. Therefore, the heart of a debtor naturally follows the person who has received this gospel. Having been saved from sin, if one does not preach it, that becomes a debt. Do we have such a heart? We too are those chosen for the gospel like the Apostle Paul. Countless people on this earth are dying in sin. What would happen if we keep our mouths shut while holding this gospel of the water and the Spirit of life in our hands? The driving force that made the Apostle Paul earnestly desire to go all the way to faraway Rome to preach the gospel was exactly this heart of a debtor. Today, that path might not be Rome. Preaching this gospel through books, through the internet, and in the places entrusted to us is exactly the way to pay off the debt. This gospel is the power of God that changes a sinner into a righteous person. Now Paul advances to the great declaration that becomes the theme of the entire book of Romans. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Let us think about that era for a moment. Rome was the capital of the empire where Hellenistic philosophy and emperor worship were splendidly spread out. To preach the baptism that Jesus received from John the Baptist and the blood of the cross in such a place looked like preaching something foolish and stupid when seen by the wisdom of the world. But how does Paul speak? He confidently declares, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why was Paul not ashamed? The Lord himself gave his flesh and blood and delivered us from sin. So what would be shameful about the work of preaching that gospel? Would it not rather be the most honorable thing? However, today many people, even while believing in Jesus, speak the gospel mumbling with a small voice. That is because they do not clearly know what the gospel they have received is. Paul said this gospel is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Here, the power of God is not an auxiliary power that slightly elevates human morality. It is the authority of salvation that changes a sinner into a sinless person. Where does that power come from? It comes from none other than within the gospel of the water and the Spirit. By receiving baptism from John the Baptist at the Jordan River, Jesus had the sins of the world transferred onto his own body at once, and by hanging on the cross and shedding blood to death while bearing those sins, he completely paid the wages of those sins, and by resurrecting from death in 3 days, he became our eternal Savior. Jesus' baptism, cross, and resurrection, this salvation ministry connected as one, becomes exactly the power of God that gives salvation to the one who believes. Therefore, we come to salvation by the faith that believes in this word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Also, Paul makes it clear that this gospel is open to all people, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Although it is the gospel promised first to the Jews, it is the way of salvation given equally to the Greeks, that is, all Gentile nations. Bloodline or religious background cannot determine the qualification for salvation. Only the faith that believes the gospel of the water and the Spirit becomes the passage to enter into that power of salvation. In front of this gospel, both the legalistic superiority of the Jews and the philosophical pride of the Greeks all collapse. It is because everyone is equally a sinner before God, and everyone is an existence that can live only by equally accepting that salvation accomplished by Christ. It is not the fig leaves of religion, but the tunic of skin made by God. Paul then summarizes the core of the gospel in one sentence in verse 17. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Here, the most important word is exactly the righteousness of God. What is the righteousness of God? To know this, we must go back to Genesis. What was the very first thing Adam and Eve did after they committed sin? It was trying to cover their shame by weaving fig leaves to make a covering. That is exactly the righteousness of man. It is the effort of man trying to cover his own sin with his own hands. But how long would a covering made of fig leaves last? After just a few days, it dries up, twists, and crumbles. No matter how much a person keeps the law and repeats repentance to build up his own righteousness, it is like a covering woven with fig leaves, so he cannot stand before God. But what did God do? Also, for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. God himself caught an animal, made clothes with its skin, and clothed them. The animal shed blood and died, and its skin covered the shame of the sinners. This is exactly the righteousness of God. It is not a righteousness created by man, but the righteousness that God himself prepared and clothed them with. What this tunic of skin points to is exactly that righteousness which Jesus Christ completed with his baptism and the blood of the cross. Therefore, inside the gospel, there is not even a single spot for human merit to stand. If we do just a little bit well, we try to establish our own merit in our hearts. However, inside the gospel, only the one merit of God stands. Only that love and salvation of God which delivered us from sin stands. So Paul said, from faith to faith. From beginning to end, there is no place for human deeds to intervene, and the beginning is the faith that believes the gospel of the water and the Spirit, and the end is also faith. The righteous person lives a lifetime by faith. Finally, the apostle quotes the word of Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. This one phrase is the great declaration that opens the entire book of Romans. How did the righteous person become righteous? He did not become a righteous person because his deeds were good. He became a righteous person because he accepted the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit prepared by God with faith in his heart. And that righteous person does not end by believing just once. He becomes one who lives a lifetime by the faith that believes the righteousness of God. The person who has accepted the gospel of the water and the Spirit with his heart can live by the faith that relies on the already completed righteousness of the Lord, even while acknowledging his own shortcomings every day. What is the way we live? We do not live by our righteousness growing, nor do we live by our emotions becoming good. It is because emotions change easily. We live only by the faith that believes that righteousness of God completed by Jesus' baptism, the blood of the cross, and resurrection. This faith is the single way that the righteous person lives. The love that the Apostle Paul harbored for the Roman saints, the heart of a debtor to the gospel, and that gospel he preached without being ashamed, are all heading toward one place. That is, the righteousness of God that changes a sinner into a righteous person, the gospel of the water and the Spirit. We too are righteous people who have received this gospel. Therefore, I bless you in the name of the Lord, that we too, like the Apostle Paul, do not be ashamed of this gospel, preach this gospel with the heart of a debtor in the places entrusted to us, and all become blessed saints who live every day by the faith that believes the righteousness of God.